Malachi chapter 2 today. Malachi chapter 2 beginning in verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Malachi chapter 2 verse 1. And now this admonition is for you, O priests. In other words, you priests, you spiritual leaders, be aware of the seriousness of the situation and accept the Lord's correction. Verse 2, if you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them, because you have not set your heart to honor me. God is saying, stop giving me the cold shoulder. Stop regarding your disobedience as a small thing, because it isn't. And God was really getting weary with this, as we will see when we get to the end of this chapter. Verse 3, because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. Boy, you think God is not disgusted with them? The dung from the pathetic animal sacrifices that they were trying to offer to God would be smeared in their face. God has nothing but extreme contempt for these priests who are despising him and publicly disgracing him too. 4. And you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. Covenant with Levi refers to the Levitical priesthood. It's talking about the Old Testament priesthood, which was full of corruption at this time. God is saying, clean up the mess. Clean up your act so that your ministry can be what it was intended to be. 5. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. According to many scriptures, life and satisfaction belong to people who obey God. And that's the way it used to be for the Levitical priesthood. Verse 6, true instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. And this is the way it should continue to be. The Old Testament priests, as well as all Christians today, who, by the way, are a kingdom of priests, should know and obey God's law. That's because others will see how we act and know how to serve the Lord as a result, know what is pleasing to the Lord as a result. We are God's representatives here on earth. That's what a priest does. He represents God. Verse 7. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. And this is true of all Christians, at least it should be, and it should especially be true of ministers. Our words should be a treasury of the truth about God, and people ought to listen to the words that we speak too, because if it is a fact that our words are a treasury of the words and the wisdom of God, people would do well to listen to us. The problem is that wasn't the way it was with the Old Testament priest at this time. Notice verse 8. God says, but you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. They didn't teach the truth. They didn't live the truth. And consequently, what they taught others caused them to sin as well. 9. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. God caused the ordinary people to see what the priests were really doing and what they were really like. And consequently, the people didn't like the priests. And you know what's amazing? They had tried to be popular with the people by changing the word of God. by changing the law of God. They thought it would make them popular with the people. Instead, they became unpopular. 10. Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? And here's another problem. People were breaking their promises to one another. And God reminds them, and he reminds us for that matter, God is our Father. Which means, in a sense, we are all brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters ought to be good to each other and not mistreat one another. And that's what God is saying here. He's saying, what in the world is the matter with you people? You're supposed to be brothers and sisters? And you treat each other this way? Can't even count on what you're saying to one another? What is that? 11. Judah has broken faith. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. Could mean that they were intermarrying with pagans, but I think it's more likely that the priests brought a foreign god from another country and actually put it in the holy temple. That made the temple unholy. Verse 12. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. To cut him off means to be considered not an Israelite. In other words, no longer under the covenant with God, and therefore in big trouble. 12. I should say 13. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It is because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Every true marriage, not every marriage is a true marriage, by the way, but every true sacramental marriage has God for a witness. And God expects the people involved to be faithful to the promises they made in his name. And some of those priests had no regard for the oaths taken in the name of the Lord. And this was another indication that they really didn't have proper respect for the Lord. That's what it came down to. But it showed up in many different ways. 15. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. In other words, control yourself. Better be controlled by your spirit, be controlled by the Spirit of God, and therefore do not flippantly divorce your spouse. And it is harder to raise godly children when the family isn't together, when there's not a good marriage. It's really tough to have kids turn out the right way. 16. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garments, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Deuteronomy 24:1 says that God does allow divorce. He allows divorce, but this verse teaches that he may allow it, but he doesn't like it. He hates it. 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice? The people were saying, there's no difference between right and wrong. And they were saying that God isn't a fair judge, and he's not going to judge evil. And you know what? God was sick and tired of listening to that stuff. He was sick of listening to those attacks against his character. Next time, chapter 3. Until then, so long, everyone.